Well, we're so excited about what God is doing in our children's ministry, and we're so excited about what God is doing in our church, and we're excited about the opportunity to continue to advance the kingdom of God from this place into the community around us. When you read the Bible and understand the language of living in the kingdom of God, it's not extremely easy to grasp what that's all about. Jesus over and over taught about living in the kingdom of God. And in Matthew chapter 25, he gives an extensive teaching on what it means to be kingdom people and to serve Jesus while living in this world. I'm going to do something that I probably shouldn't do today, but I want to take a stab, if you will, at teaching three parables on the way to the third teaching, which is the one that's the most important. But if you'll listen quickly, I'll speak quickly and help us get to the point about understanding what Jesus was talking about when he spoke about serving the least of these, my brethren. You got to back up to the beginning of the chapter in Matthew chapter 25 and understand the context of the parable teachings that Jesus is teaching through. And in the beginning of Matthew chapter 25, Jesus begins the teaching by talking about the parable of the wise and foolish virgins. The bridegroom, meaning Jesus, is coming to the wedding, the bride of Christ, meaning the church. And the marriage of the bridegroom, Jesus, to his church is a story that Jesus is teaching about. And as he teaches, he says that there were 10 virgins who were invited to the wedding. And it said that 5 of the virgins were prepared with oil for their lamps, not knowing exactly when the bridegroom was coming. And 5 did not have enough oil for an extended period of time. In other words, they were unprepared. And sure enough, as Jesus is teaching the story, the bridegroom was delayed in his coming. And so the virgins went and took a nap, waiting for the bridegroom to come, having no idea when he would come to the wedding. And sure enough, as Jesus is teaching the story, the bridegroom comes at midnight. Jesus comes to seal the deal, to come to the marriage ceremony at midnight. And those virgins who were prepared had oil in their lamps to be able to go in the nighttime and go in the darkness and go into the wedding and therefore consummate the relationship and celebrate the relationship with the bridegroom and his church. You following with me? But there were 5 more that didn't have enough oil to get through the night. And so they went to the virgins that were prepared with their oil and said, "Give us some of your oil so that we can go in as well." And they rightly said, "No, go into the city and buy, and then you'll be able to come in to the wedding." And while they left, because they were unprepared, the bridegroom came into the wedding. The wedding feast was shut off. The door was closed and they could not come in. That's a strange story. But here's the lesson about living in the kingdom. We have no idea when the bridegroom is coming. And since he is delayed, there is this waiting period that we are living in now, anticipating his coming. But the warning that Jesus is giving is that we have no idea when he's coming. He could come at any moment. He could come at any moment. And you and I need to live in the kingdom in such a way that we are prepared for his coming at any moment. There are a couple of lessons that are hidden within the story. One of them is the lesson of the oil. You think of anointing oil and how when someone is anointed, they are sealed in that relationship. They had that oil for their lamp that is a parallel to an anointing that comes when we are sealed in our relationship to Jesus Christ. There is also the evidence of the oil burning in the lamp, and the virgins that were prepared had plenty of light in order to find their way to the wedding and to seal the relationship with Jesus. That light in other places in the Bible is talking about the light of the gospel. Matthew 28, 18 through 20 that was read a moment ago gives us a reference to the light of the gospel of Christ. When we go in the name of Jesus, we go in the light, we dispel darkness, and there's all sorts of analogy and understanding of that light. And that parable teaches us, number one, that as we live in the kingdom, we need to be prepared. We need to seal our relationship with Jesus. We need to have the light of the gospel in our life. We need to not be surprised if Jesus is delayed, because he is delayed. But the truth of it is, someday he's going to come back and it's going to be over in this life and eternity will begin. And there will be those outside the wedding feast that could have been prepared. And so Jesus teaches that parable, and living in the kingdom, number one, is about preparation. Secondly, Jesus teaches a pretty famous parable that you may have heard before, and that is the teaching about the talents, the parable of the talents. And in Matthew chapter 25, it says that the master, Jesus referring to himself as the master, called his workers in his business, if you will, and said he was going on a long journey. And the story is told that he gave one 5 talents, which is a reference to money, but you can also double play it with the talents of skill and service and all those things. But he gave one 5 talents, he gave one 2 talents, and he gave one talent. And if you look in Matthew 25, it says this, that after he had given the talents, he left and went away. And here's the key. He didn't give his workers any instructions as to what to do. He just gave them 5 talents, 2 talents, and 1 talent, and then he left. No instructions whatsoever to manage his affairs. The story is told that the one that had 5 talents went and bargained and trade and continued to work the deals and work the business, and he doubled his money in the period of time that the master was gone. Likewise, the one with 2 talents borrowed and traded and worked and did all he could in business and doubled his money in the period of time while the master was gone. But the third one, it says, was afraid. And so he hid his talent in the ground and didn't do anything. And then the master came back and took an accounting of what had occurred. Well, one who had 5 came to the master and said, "Well, I've doubled your money." And the master said, "Well done, good and faithful servant." By the way, we want to hear that in life as a part of living in the kingdom. "Well done, good and faithful servant." And he gave him more responsibility and he grew and produced even more. The one with 2, same thing. "Well done, good and faithful servant," because he had doubled his income and done what the master had wanted him to do, even without instructions. But then the third one testified and said, "I was afraid of you. And I hid my talent in the ground, and frankly, I didn't do anything with what you gave me." You hear the message of Jesus there? I didn't do anything with what you gave me. And if you look at the end of that, it says he was cast into the outer darkness. There will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. In the story, the one talent guy was sent to hell because he didn't do anything with what the master had given him. Now, you take all kinds of analogy there, but the teaching is this. The one talent guy had every opportunity to know about the master, like the 5 talent guy and the 2 talent guy. The 5 talent guy and the 2 talent guy showed testimony that they knew the master, because even without instructions as to what to do, they knew what the master would want them to do. You follow the teaching there? And so the second parable is this, that when we are in the kingdom, we need to make sure we know the master and are able to interpret the activities of the master in our own life, whether he gives us any instructions or not. Or else we will have the opportunity to know the master and not do anything with it and be cast into outer darkness where there is weeping and gnashing of teeth. That's a message about judgment. And just as the message about the virgins was a message about preparation, the message of the talents, the 5 and the 2 and the 1 person, is about knowing the master. If we're going to live in the kingdom, we need to know the master. Well, how do we know the master? Back to Matthew 28. We need to know him by personal relationship, but our life is to be about the activity of knowing everything we possibly can about God, knowing everything we possibly can about Jesus, and doing it whether he gives us specific instructions or not. Which leads us to the third story, the third parable, which, by the way, in theological circles is a hotly debated story about Jesus. It has ramifications of all kinds of things that I really, before now, thought that might be in the place there. But as of studying this week, I really discovered that I think there's a new point to the parable that I had never seen before. I looked all over the place. I couldn't find anybody that would see it. And I'm excited to share with you a new thought about this third parable. If you follow with me in Matthew chapter 25-31, it says this: "When the Son of Man comes in His glory and all the holy angels with Him, then He will sit on His throne of glory." This is the second coming part of the kingdom. "All the nations will be gathered before Him, and He will separate one from another as a shepherd divides the sheep and the goats." In this activity, Jesus is telling a story that the sheep, the ones that follow Me, the ones that hear the voice of the shepherd, the ones that are after Me, the shepherd and the sheep relationships all through the Scripture, the sheep will be divided from the goats. They'll mix together, but they'll be divided. Those who have believed in Jesus, the sheep, those who are the goats, who acted like sheep but weren't sheep. They were the goats. And so Jesus is saying at the end of days, there will be this separation of those who are believers and who are not believers. And He will sit the sheep, verse 33, on His right hand, but the goats on His left. Then the King will say to those on His right, He will say to the sheep, the believers, the ones who followed Him, the ones who know His voice, He will say to them, "Come, you blessed of My Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For I was hungry, and you gave Me food. I was thirsty, and you gave Me drink. I was a stranger, and you took Me in. I was naked, and you clothed Me. I was sick, and you visited Me. I was in prison, and you came to Me." Now, there are many that run and flee from the teaching of this passage that it is a social gospel message. That there is this sense in which Jesus might be teaching in this passage, and they run away from it, that if you are going to get in the kingdom, you must be about the activity of serving the needy and going to the prisons and helping. And that way you will end up earning some sort of favor with Jesus. Well, friend, I want you to know that's simply not there. It's not there. That's not at all what Jesus is talking about. At the other end of the passage, you'll see the goats, the ones that were by the sheep and tried to act like sheep but didn't ever want to be sheep, were the same way. And Jesus confronted them with this matter of serving the needy. And He says it exactly the same way. But here's the understanding of the passage that's fresh thought for me that I think hits it right in the center point. It comes from the question of the sheep and the question of the goats, which is the same question. Here's the question. Verse 37, "Then the righteous, then the sheep, then the followers of Jesus will answer Him saying, 'Lord, when did we see you hungry and feed you, or thirsty and give you a drink? When did we see you a stranger and take you in, or naked and clothe you? When did we see you sick or in prison and come and visit you?'" The question of the righteous reveals their heart. It shows their heart. And here's the essence of living in the kingdom. When we live in the kingdom and we have the preparation of Jesus coming and we have the knowledge of who He is to serve and work in the kingdom, then we show our hearts by naturally living in such a way that we attend to the least of these around us without any expectation that Jesus would take notice of it, without any expectation that we would get some sort of credit or score for it, without any expectation or notice that someone would pay attention to our acts and our needs. We simply find ourselves doing it. When you look at the end of the passage of Scripture, He will say to the ones as well, the Lord, then He will answer to the ones that I'm sorry, I'm so excited about this, I can't find my place. Okay, verse 41, "Then He will also say to those on His left hand, 'Depart from Me, you cursed, into the everlasting fire, prepared for the devil and his angels. For I was hungry, and you gave Me no food, thirsty, gave Me no drink. I was a stranger, and you did not take Me in, naked, you did not clothe Me, sick in prison, you did not visit Me.'" Then they will answer the same question. Here's the question: "When did we see you hungry or thirsty or stranger or naked or sick or in prison and did not minister to you?" Then He would answer and say, "Assuredly, I say to you, inasmuch as you did not do it to one of the least of these, you did not do it to Me." That question of the goats, that question of the unbelievers revealed their heart. They had absolutely no concern for others around them. They had absolutely no concern for the fact that there is a whole kingdom full of people that need to be attended to, that need to be paid attention to, that deserve our very best, that deserve our... They sealed their own fate when they asked the question and had no answer. It's about the question, which reveals the heart. And so the question for the day is this: how can we become kingdom living people and make sure that we understand that we are to be actively practicing what Jesus is teaching here, being the kind of people that serve the least of these? That's what we all need. That's what we want. And it becomes the simplest of activities to the more complex. Driving down the road, cool as you can be. Hey, how's it going? That matters, you know that? It matters. Because when you get one of those, hey, how's it going on your steering wheel? You know what that says coming back to you? That you exist. That you're noticed. That you're recognized. Let me get that door for you. You know what that says? That you matter. That you exist. That you're important. That you're on the planet and so am I. Those are simple things. The eye contact. The facial expression. The nice to meet you. The how do you do today? Those are the simple things. They're not particularly spiritual, but they're so necessary because we all live together. We all are building the case for living in the kingdom together. And all of those little notices and all of those little recognitions build the case for coming into the kingdom of Jesus Christ because we matter to one another. None of us is an island. I appreciate what Eric said about the young ones coming to know Jesus Christ. There's several layers of influence that bring these children to a place in Jesus Christ. There's several layers of influence that bring each one of us to the place of knowing how to live in the kingdom. And all of those little things matter. From little to more complex. And the truth of it is, when we give the how do you do when you're driving down the street, the let me get the door for you, we have absolutely no idea when strangers are with us. We have absolutely no idea about the needs of people around us. And yet we do, because all of us are needy somehow. Yesterday I spent the day in an enviable task of cleaning out a rent house that somebody had lived in, that a house that I owned for 8 years. I found out yesterday that the house that I'd been renting for 8 years was a known drug house, and I was unaware of it. So the pastor is owning a drug house. Hallelujah. How about that? And I still have the smell in my nostrils of cleaning out that in that house. But this is what we found when we pulled the stuff out of the house. Not only the testimony of drug activity and drug paraphernalia and the stories, just stop telling me stories. I don't want to know anymore. But also found in a pile of trash in the garage, a marriage book written by James Dobson, and spiritual statues in other places, and Christian literature in other places. And then in the other room, there was pornography. And it's like, how do you live like this? Well, that's the question. And the answer to the question is that people live in a mess. And that revealed mess in the home that I was evidence in yesterday is not unlike other homes all around. And when we don't acknowledge people, when we don't recognize people, when we don't notice that people are in need, then we just pass by and we potentially become a goat. But on the other hand, when we serve the least of these, without any expectation or any recognition or any notice or any hope that something might come good for us, when we serve just because it's a reflex, Jesus is saying, I saw you and you showed me your heart. So how do we do that really quickly in closing? Well, first of all, we need to see that there are needs of people all around us. People are in need because you're in need and I'm in need. And so is everybody else. We need to see the need. And then secondly, we need to see the value of connecting to people. We don't live independent lives and independent bubbles and hermetically sealed and secured from one another. We live in relationship to one another. And the interaction of people across this planet is an opportunity for us to experience divine appointments of service so that people can know the Lord. We also need to see our ability. I'm I'm so thankful for these young people in blue shirts that spent all weekend with children. It's not in my ability anymore. I just confess to you. But I'm thankful for you, and I'm thankful for the opportunity for you to give a weekend away in order to benefit these 30 and 40 children who are more discipled than ever before. And all of us have abilities in different ways. We need to see our abilities and serve others as we serve the Lord with the abilities that we have. We need to see the benefit. Potentially every relationship turns into a kingdom conversation that turns into building people towards Jesus Christ. And every single conversation that we come in contact has the potential to seal a relationship with Jesus Christ, with someone that we come in contact with. We need to see that benefit. And lastly, we need to see the kingdom for what it is. That it is in this world. It's happening right now all around us. But it's also out of this world. It's beyond this time and space that we dwell in right now. So the question is for you and for me, are you prepared for the kingdom of God to start with the coming again of Jesus? Are you ready to go into the wedding? Your oil is lit. You're prepared. You know the bridegroom. You know when the appointed time. You know where to go. You know and have that relationship. Are you knowing the Master in a personal way? And do you find yourself doing what the Master would do as we relate to one another, as we serve the least of these?